Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Would you like to save money on your taxes? Now, I know that's a stupid question. Of sure you do. Well, we're going to provide you with the info to help you do just that. My guest is Kay Bell. She's the tax expert with Bankrate.com. She's also author of the book, The Truth About Paying Fewer Taxes. And we're going to reveal those truths to you today. Kay, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be fun because this is something that interests everyone. Don't we all want to save legally, Kay, legally, ways to save on our taxes? Now, I know that at Bankrate.com, you all do a lot of studies and that kind of thing of consumer patterns and behavior. What are some of the interesting things that you all have found out about the way people pay taxes? And do you have any kind of an estimate on how many people overpay taxes?
Well, we haven't actually looked into to that granular of an issue there. But, you know, people we found really are legal. They're really honest. They want to pay their taxes. They just want to pay what's fair, and they definitely don't want to pay any more than they have to. So,
and that's a very legitimate way to feel. I feel that way. I mean,
exactly.
I want to reduce my taxes as much as I can. So, okay. So, all right. So you don't, we really don't, I guess there's really no way of figuring out how many people overpay their taxes and whatnot. But let me ask.
You know, we can get an idea that people do overpay in the sense that most people get refunds every year. So, and this year it was around $3,000. So, you know, you are overpaying, but you're getting it back in the refund. So, but it's not really a good thing to do. And in the past, I've been one of those people who's lectured about don't give the bank of Uncle Sam an interest-free loan. But with interest rates so low nowadays, you're not really losing much if you find this is a good way to get a forced savings.
Right. Account. You know, that's exactly right. That may be the way that they end up saving money and having some extra when tax season rolls around. But at any rate, yeah. Usually, if you can find an investment to put it in, you're better off than putting it into the government coffers and letting it sit there because it does not earn any kind of interest when you overpay. Am I right?
Exactly. And even 0.5% is better than 0%.
That's exactly right. A little bit.
And you can get it when you need it. If you've adjusted your withholding so that you're not overpaying your taxes and don't have to wait for that refund, then it's there for you. If you feel like you can't, if you're going to spend it, if you use it, have it be automatically taken out of your paycheck, what you would be over withholding, have that amount put into an automatic savings account. Most credit unions or banks will do that for you.
That's good advice, very good advice, as a matter of fact. Okay, well, let's talk about some of the common. Do you have a sense of the deductions that people often miss that would be easy for them to use if they just thought about it? Now, I know a lot of people have tax preparers, but even there, I think consumers need to be aware of everything because things can be missed by anyone.
Exactly, yeah. Even if you use tax software or you go to a professional to help you file, it helps you to do your homework a little bit, to know what you might be eligible for so you can talk with your pro about that and make sure you don't miss it. You know, itemized deductions get a lot of attention because they're kind of messy and elaborate, but most people don't itemize. But that doesn't mean there isn't ways for us to save even if we don't itemize. And a lot of places we miss is credits. And credits are better than deductions because credits are a dollar-for-dollar reduction of what you owe, where deductions just reduce the amount of your taxable income. So basically, if you have a $500 credit and you owe Uncle Sam $700, then that credit's going to cut that bill down to $200. So you want to look at credits.
Okay. What do you do to get credits on your taxes?
Okay. If you have kids and they're in child care, make sure you look into the child and dependent care tax credit.
Okay. So that's going to help you pay that bill right there?
Yeah. It's limited, and it's limited by your income. So the more you make, the less of a credit this will be. But any parent will tell you that any bit of help is good help when it comes to those high costs.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Okay, so look into your child care credits. What are some of the other things that would fall into the credit category that a lot of people are going to be able to deduct?
Education, big topic. And there are lots of education credits here. The big one, the main one, is the American Opportunity Tax Credit. This was President Obama's hallmark education move here. He kicked it in 2009 with the stimulus bill. And now, thanks to legislation in December, it's a permanent part of the tax code. This could give you $2,500 credit if you're for expenses as an undergraduate student. And part of that could be a credit amount that could even get you a refund if you don't owe any money when you figure your taxes.
Uh-huh. So well, looking we like that. American,
yeah.
I read somewhere that, you know, if you're employed and your employer offers you an educational opportunity, which sometimes happens in jobs, and that they pay for it, that doesn't come out of your income. That doesn't come out of your wages. And it's not counted as income when you get to tax time. Is that right? Correct? Did I read that properly?
Yes, there are employer-provided educational benefits that are tax-free to you. It's like when you, the excluded income when you put money into a 401k plan. So if your employer offers educational benefits, be sure to look into that too. You don't want to miss those. And speaking of employers, if you are taking a course, say you're out of school and you're taking a course to improve your job skills in the hopes that you'll get a promotion or a raise, you might be able to claim what's called the lifetime learning credit, and that's available to anybody. All years of post-secondary education or even people who are through with school and they just want to improve what they know how to do already. So,
and that becomes a credit or deduction?
That's a credit.
That's
too.
A credit. Okay.
Claim that lifetime learning credit. It could get you up to $2,000 credit for.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your kids are finally out of the house and you're not paying for their college, and you want to take some self improvement courses for yourself that can pay off, then look into the lifetime learning credit. So.
Are there restrictions on the kinds of things that you can take? Kind of classes? Do they have to be through an accredited school, or how do you define what would be educational and what would be deductible?
Well, this is a pretty lenient one. So it's things that are, you know, like say work related. So if it's an accredited course, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, to get college credit, but it's something. For a course, like I say, a work-related course, computer technology, or if you're looking to,
okay.
to do that. So those kind of things, those degrees or certifications can apply towards
that. Well, and those things can all be useful towards future promotions, or for someone who's between college and having a job, can that apply as well?
Yeah, you can use those. You also can use some of that when you're looking for a job, too. So.
Okay, that's good to know, because there are a lot of people out there looking for work.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Kay Bell. She's the tax expert with Bankrate.com. She's also author of the book, The Truth About Paying Fewer Taxes, which we all like. I got to tell you. And, okay, so we've talked about the educational aspect of being able to save on our taxes and how it can be a credit and how beneficial that is to us. What are some of the other things that count as tax credits?
One big one I want to point out, and it's one we all need to think about more. I'm getting older, I hate to admit it, but we all are, and that's retirement savings. So if you put away money into retirement savings, as we mentioned earlier, the 401k at work or mm-hmm. an IRA, a Roth IRA, which doesn't get you a tax break immediately, but the money comes out tax-free when you retire, or a traditional IRA, which some people still find valuable because you do get an immediate deduction depending on your personal circumstances. If you put money into those retirement savings accounts, or even if you're self-employed and have a self-employed retirement account, you put money into those, you might be eligible for the Savers Credit, which is will give you a credit of up to $1,000 to cover some of that money you put into a retirement account. Now, again, here, this is primarily for lower-income workers because, you know, these are the folks who have a harder time putting away money.
Sure.
So
it has an income limitation on it, but you should check it to see if you come within those limitations.
Exactly. And, you know, if you do, then it's a twofer because you're saving in a tax-preferenced way for your retirement in the future, and then getting an immediate break. So look into the retirement savings credit. It's one that people don't think about very often, even when they do put money into these accounts.
Now, what about college savings accounts that where you're putting money away for your kids' future? How do they work, and how beneficial are they?
Oh, yeah, those 529 plans. They're known by, as many things are in the tax world, by the portion of the tax code that they're named after, mm-hmm. So that's Section 529, those plans. States set those up, but they get you the federal and state tax breaks. And here you get to put money in and either to prepay tuition, which I think a lot of those have gone away, but or to just put money in to grow to pay when your kid does go off to college. And then when your student is at school, they pull that money out tax-free to pay for eligible expenses. So these are good. You know, they have lots of options. Every state has at least one. Mm-hmm. Most of them have more. You don't have to have a 529 in the state where you live. So in the D.C. area, you've got Maryland, you've got Virginia, you're not far from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. You can shop around there and find one that's good for you. So you can pay
into any state's college fund, and even if you don't live there or your kid doesn't go to school there.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so shop around and find one, and then, you know, it's good savings. And then if you want to do a little add-on, it's not much, but it's called the Coverdell Education Savings Account. These were created... Next,
say that again.
Coverdell. It's named after a former Georgia congressman who sponsored it many years ago.
All right.
And here you can put up to $2,000 into a Coverdell account, or you can do it, or grandparents can do it, or friends can do it. It's just the account is limited to $2,000 a year, which isn't that much, but you can use that money for non-college educational expenses. It was expanded to let people pull that money out to pay for secondary education costs and mm-hmm. some computers and things. So, you know, it's a handy way to help pay for some of the schooling costs you're facing before the kids even go off to university.
Or what about, could that be even used to pay for instead of paying for tuition, suppose your child gets a academic scholarship, but you have to put up for the housing. Could you use it for that?
To be honest, I haven't looked into
Oh, my gosh, I've stumped you, Kay. I can't believe it. Oh, my gosh.
I have to admit, I'm child-free, so I haven't.
So you don't care. All right. Well, it's something to look into at any rate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, look into all these. So, you know, the IRS has lots of details, and Bankrate does, too, on specifics. I know I've written about it, but, gosh, Shirley, it's been so long.
I know. I'm sorry. That wasn't a trick question. I swear it wasn't, Kay. I didn't really mean it that way. And okay, so let's talk about some of the other ways to save taxes. While we're on the subject of kids, what about babysitting costs? How are taxes in terms of you're being able to deduct some of those, or what's the story? Because I'm like you, my child is grown.
Right. Well, you know, if you're paying for child care and it's those costs can count towards the dependent care credit, but you know, you need to keep track of them. You have to get the Social Security number of the person if it's an individual who's mm-hmm. providing the care, so that you can claim that. And part of that is so the IRS will know to go to check that person.
Make sure they're paying taxes.
They're paying taxes mm-hmm. on their income. So, and, you know, obviously if you have a nanny, there's always the nanny tax issue mm-hmm. mm-hmm. of making sure that you're paying them above board and paying any...
And you're paying that you're paying their... Their taxes are paid, and you're paying their Social Security, at least the part you have to contribute.
Right.
So,
And
that's true on anybody, any domestic who works for you as well?
Right, yeah. Any domestic and lawn, you know, a gardener you have, mm-hmm. those kind of things. So, you know, it's called the nanny tax because mm-hmm. it's a catchy phrase, but yeah, it is for domestic help.
So it's someone who's helping do your yard or clean your house or whatever.
Right.
Okay. My dream is to have a cook someday.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be wonderful.
I don't know whether we could deduct that or not, but I could try.
Definitely worth looking into.
That's exactly right. Anything else about the household? You know, obviously, talking to me, you must realize my husband prepares our taxes, or we have somebody who helps us. So I'm not real smart on taxes. I know the questions that I have. But what about other things to your house, like damage to your house and that sort of thing? Do you get a tax break on any of that, repairs or whatever?
Well, it depends on what it is. Routine maintenance and repairs generally aren't tax deductible. Sadly, what you get a tax break on for the most part are those terrible things that happen with disasters, both natural disasters and, say, you have a fire or even if you have a break-in and someone damages your property breaking in and then steals your items and steals more than you have insurance coverage for, you can claim a casualty or theft loss for that.
Okay.
And, again, it's most typically used, this claim is most typically used for the natural disasters, the hurricanes.
And you would want to keep records and make sure if you have someone's breaking in your house and stealing things, that you report it to the police so that you'll have a record of it and keep all those case numbers, et cetera, I would think.
Right, and you have to keep track of all the insurance you get back, because you can only claim the loss that's over what insurance pays.
Okay. Let's just take a brief pause to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Kay Bell. She's the tax expert with Bankrate.com. She's also the author of the book, The Truth About Paying Fewer Taxes. And don't we all want to? So, legitimate ways to save on your taxes. There's just a lot of things that people need to know. They should go to your website. They should read your book. That's going to be some of the ways that it'll help them. I know who people who are searching for jobs, it's important to keep track of expenses there and so on. But let's talk about some of the crazier things that people do. Okay, what are some of the things that you all have found that people do try to avoid paying taxes that just aren't within the law?
Well, you know, you always hear the ones about people who are claiming dependents who aren't their dependents. And this could be humans, or it could be pets.
You can claim for your pet? Yeah, right. Good luck with that.
You know, it sounds funny. Sometimes a pet can get you a tax break, but it's a narrow area there. Say you have a business and you have a guard dog.
Well, what about support animals?
Support animals do count. The proviso here, though, is that this usually counts as a medical expense.
Okay.
So, you know, then you have to meet a certain threshold of expenses.
Right.
So if you have a support dog, though, that care and upkeep of that animal could help add to any other medical expenses you have. So
okay.
You definitely want to watch that.
Yeah, you just need to keep trying. I think, you know, one of the things that you're saying that comes through loud and clear to me, it is so important to keep records.
Definitely. It's all about the documentation, because with the tax code, unlike the legal system that we're all used to from television and, you know, innocent until proven guilty, when it comes to taxes, you are guilty of what the IRS thinks you've done until you can prove to that examiner, that auditor, that what you claimed was legitimate.
Okay. It's like me. I clean out my closet and I make donations to charitable groups, and I keep an itemized list of what I've donated and the value that I've assigned it. So
that is exactly what you need.
I date it, and then I keep the receipt when I take it to the whatever group I take it to. And so I mean, you know, it's a legitimate donation, and I try to be very honest in what I'm doing in it. I guess people can exaggerate that, but I don't think it's a good idea. So
no, it's not. And that's why, you know, unfortunately, too many people did exaggerate. That's why the law has changed, where now the IRS is demanding more receipts. You don't have to send it when you file, but if they question a charitable deduction and you don't have that receipt, they can just automatically say, sorry, doesn't count.
Yep. Do they fine you if they find that you've over-deducted something?
They have the ability, and they generally do, to charge you a penalty for underreporting your income, and then obviously you'll owe any interest on that underreported income from the time it was due and from the time you got caught.
So. What are some of the other common things that people may overlook when they're sitting down to figure out their taxes? Have we covered most of that?
We've done a pretty good job. Again, you know, there's a group of they're called deductions by us lay people, and I consider myself a lay person from a tax-paying standpoint, but they're actually adjustments to income. It's at the bottom of the 1040, the last section on the front page of the 1040. It's called we call them above-the-line deductions, and there you'll find things like if you contributed to a traditional IRA, you might be able to deduct that amount through your taxes. You could put that in there. You don't have to itemize to get that one. Going back to education, some tuition and fees that you pay, you can claim those. That's there in that section. If you're an educator, school teacher, school administrator, and bought material for your classroom, you get to count some of that against your income. So you want to look into those. That bottom section of the 1040, there's about a dozen or so there. There's a smaller group on the 1040A. Look at that last section on the front page of those forms and see if any of those situations apply to you, because you might be able to just chip away a few dollars.
It all counts.
It does.
All counts. Maybe $5 for a cup of coffee. Who knows?
Exactly.
It all adds up. Let's be fair to everybody. That's kind of my philosophy on the whole thing. Okay. Any outstanding things that people have? What about mortgages and things like that? Are these still deductible?
Yes, they are. And that's, you know, that's one of those that's likely they're going to last for a long time. All presidential candidates that for the last 3 or 4 elections have always said, we're going to reform the tax code and we're going to get rid of deductions, except for that mortgage interest deduction. So, again, it's one of those that you can only use if you itemize, but it's one that's very important to people who are making house payments. So,
but rent doesn't count, does it?
No, I'm sorry. Rent does not count. That's why some tax reformers say we need to go from a mortgage interest deduction to a housing credit for everybody. So both homeowners and renters would be on more equal footing.
But well, I suppose the thinking behind that is that an investment in a home is, you know, contributing to our country. Well, of course, investment in an apartment, renting it is contributing too, because it gives you a place to live. So I don't
exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, there's arguments to be made on both sides, and Congress is just going to have to hash that out. But if I had to predict, I'm going to say that mortgage interest deduction is probably going to be that, and charitable contributions are going to be the last ones to go.
What about contributions to charities? And I know that if you say you want to donate a car, now are all of these groups? No, I can't ask you that, because that's a blanket statement, wouldn't be true. Are most groups that ask you to donate a car, for example, going to give you tax deductions on it? They're going to tell you the value of it, and you're going to be able to deduct that from your taxes?
Yes, and that's what you have to wait for, is you have to hear back from that charity that you gave the car to find out if they sold it, what they got for it. Used to, we were talking earlier about people inflating their deductions.
Right.
People would give a car away and it would be a junker, and they would say it was worth so much more than it was. And so the IRS, the rules were changed where you give it to the charity, and depending on what they do with it, whether they use it to provide their services, say they use it to deliver meals or they drive people to find work, or they sell the vehicle, depending on what they do with it, depends
what you can deduct.
Value.
Yep.
And they will send you a form telling you what it's your deductible.
Okay.
Value is.
Okay. I can't believe the time's gone by. It has. But thank you so much for being with us. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Kay Bell. She's the tax expert with Bankrate.com. And I am Shirley Rooker. Want to thank you for joining us. If you want to get in touch with me, it's Shirley@callforaction.org. Shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you again.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.